And my grandma gave me this name, and she didn't know that I will become a Christian in one day. And I'm the pastor of Antalya Evangelical Church in Turkey, and I'm almost like 17 years now Christian, and I brought the message to you guys today from the Romans chapter 1. And before I preach, I want you to be patient with me, because sometimes my English is not so good. And this is my second language, and sometimes I have a really hard time to preach in English. But I know that you guys will be gracious to me. I want to start by taking you a journey with me to the city of Antalya. Antalya is a biblical city. And if you look at the book of Acts chapter 14, verses 24 and 25, you will see that Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they came to Antalya during their missionary journey, and they shared the gospel with people over there and started churches. But now, I want you to imagine standing on a mountaintop and overlooking a city more than 2 million people. Most of these people, either culturally or conservatively, are Muslim. The majority of them have never heard the gospel message before. Not only they have not heard, but worse than that, if you would try to share the good news with them, they would most likely give you a very hard time for it. Because Turkish culture, Turks believe that Christianity is a very shameful thing to study or follow. Most of the people in Turkey who hear the gospel message are like the Greeks and Jews during the Paul's time. For some of them, gospel is embarrassing. For some of them, gospel is foolishness. And for some of them, gospel is very dangerous. Turks have been taught wrongly about Christianity. And because of these misconceptions, and those who do understand and put their faith in Jesus Christ, message of Jesus Christ, and will most likely be rejected by their family or friends. Let me explain how negatively Christianity viewed by my society. We can do this comparing it how to Muslim view homosexuality in Turkish culture. In Turkish culture, homosexuality is a very shameful thing. If you are gay, you keep it a secret. Most Turks would never publicly reveal their gay identity. And the families would be very ashamed to know if one of their own was homosexual. That being said, I have a friend who became a Christian from Islamic background to Christ. His family was very conservative Muslim. After he became a Christian, they rejected him, and my friend faced many challenges in his faith. One day, the day that he told his mom that he became a Christian, his mom became very angry with him, and she said that she was very ashamed of him. And she said to him, "I wish you would have told me that you were a gay rather than Christian." Think about that. Do you see how shameful it is to be Christian in my society in Turkey? Another way you can see how Muslim Turks view Christianity is by watching television. For example, there are many Turkish movies set during the times of Crusade. These movies usually paint a picture that Muslims of that time were right and just and moral. In contrast, the Christians in these films are usually drunk and dirty, murdering and raping, portrayed like animals. They are wicked and evil character. And still, on the media, many nationalists and religious Islamic leaders spoke up against Christians. They tell Turkish people that we are betrayers of our country. We're trying to change the culture and brainwash the kids, divide the country, working for CIA or FBI. And they are telling all those lies to Turkish people. And people in Turkey, they believe that. And they view Christianity very dangerous. The negativity about Christianity even comes out in Turkish proverbs and saying. For example, in English, if you have a broken relationship with someone, you would say, that person is dead to me. But in Turkish, you might say, that person is priest to me. Or if, in your culture, you may call someone who looks poor, messy, and dirty a bum. But in Turkish culture, you would say this kind of person looks like a priest, like Pastor Bill and me. When I was a little boy, I was so messy, and every time when I was playing outside, and I got so dirty and messy and coming home with that look. And when my mom looked at me, she got always angry to me. And she was yelling at me because my clothes were all dirty. My hair was so messy, believe it or not. During that time, I had a hair. And my mom was always got angry to me and yelling at me and telling me that, Ramazan, you look like a priest. I guess my mom must have had a gift of prophecy, because the little did she know that one day I would become a priest. Hopefully, these examples paint a clear picture for you of what Christianity looks like in my culture. I became a Christian 17 years ago. And all these years, I have faced many challenges. Because of my faith, my relatives, they rejected me. And many of my friends gave up on me. And I have been kicked out of many places after sharing my faith. And some have mocked me, and some have sworn at me. And my life was also been threatening many times. I know that the people in my society who persecute the Christian do this because of how they have been raised. They have been taught wrongly about Christianity and Christians. They believe that Christians are immoral and dangerous and dirty. And because of all these misconceptions, it is very important that Turkish believers stand up and boldly proclaim the truth. But I cannot say that it's easy or without risk. I have learned not to care what people think or say about me, even regardless of what they may do to me. I will still remain among them and share the good news with them, because I am not ashamed of gospel, because like Paul believes and I believe that gospel is the power of God for salvation. If you don't want to be ashamed of gospel, there is things that we need to know. First, we need to know who we are in Christ and who Christ is. And the second, we need to know what we believe, what our message is. And the third, we need to know why we are here in this earth. If you know those three things, you would never be ashamed of gospel. You would never be ashamed of that you're a Christian. And I wanted to share with you these points today. The first of all, we need to know who we are in Christ. On the surface, Romans chapter 1 looks like a description of character of Paul. It is as if he is introducing himself to us. But when we look closer, we see that Paul's entire identity is wrapped on who Christ is and what Christ did in his life. Paul, you can see in these verses that Paul, a servant of Christ, called by Christ, and set apart for Christ through him for his name's sake. All that makes up the person of Paul is dependent on the person of Christ. Everything that he has because of Christ. His entire description of himself in this introduction is based on the fact that he belongs to Christ. And interestingly, he described himself as a slave of Christ. How do we typically describe our identity in Christ? We usually focus on the things like we are apple of God's eyes and the bride of Christ and the friend of God and children of God and daughters and sons of the King and so on. Praise the Lord that these things are all true. Praise the Lord that when we come to Christ, we have a rich identity in Him. Praise the Lord that we have a rich identity in Christ, and we should be thankful for these, and we should meditate on it and live our lives according to it. But this is not all that we are. Like Paul says, we are also slave of Christ. Why do we often overlook this aspect of our identity? Probably because we don't like the idea of being a slave. We want to be a master. We want to lead and guide our lives according to how we want it. But yet, this is how Paul described himself. Think about that. In Roman culture at that time, being a slave was very humiliating and shameful things to be. Because the slave didn't have any rights. They were property of their owners. And they were forced to do whatever their master wanted them to do. And Paul used this analogy to describe his relationship to Christ. Even in his other letters, Paul's talk about being a slave. And he says that we are either slave of sin or slave of Christ. No one is free. We might think that we are free, but no one is free. Paul had been a slave to sin, but because of what Jesus did for him and the price he paid for his sin, Paul voluntarily became a slave of Christ. With Jesus as his master, Paul knew he must be obedient to boldly proclaim to the good news to others. And like Paul, we know from Matthew chapter 28 that the Master has also given us duty to take the gospel to the end of the world. Do we obey our Master? Do we see ourselves as a slave of Jesus Christ? Like we experience in Turkey today, the message that Paul was giving to share in his time was considered foolishness. At that time, the Greeks had many gods. These gods were powerful, strong, and wise, according to their belief. Jesus, think about that. Jesus was a poor carpenter who was killed on a cross and by a Roman soldier, by the order of Roman governor. He was said to be God, but lived as a human among people who took his life in the most shameful way by death on a cross. If you know the Greek culture at that time, according to their culture, there wasn't much about Christ that was appealing to them. He seemed poor, weak, and helpless. The idea that Jesus could be a God was an unacceptable and foolish message to Paul's audience. Yet, Paul introduced himself as a slave of Christ, and he introduced Jesus Christ as his master, and also he encouraged people to become a slave of him. Think about that. 98% of Turks are Muslim. Muslims believe that Jesus was just a man, a good prophet, but certainly not God. When we tell them that he was God in human form and he died on the cross for their sin and rose from the dead, and this message doesn't fit into what they have learned about who God is. They have been taught that God is so big and powerful and so unreachable. And to say that God could have become a man and die on the cross is an insult in Islamic culture, in Turkish culture. When I talk to people about my faith, we often agree with many things. But when we come to subject of Christ's deity or what he did on the cross, then people became very angry and reject this message. And they think that this is foolishness and a shamed message. And they became angry. As it is in Islamic culture, the idea of Christ and his death was considered foolish in Paul's day. Paul found his security and pride in following the law. But when he met Jesus and his eyes were opened and he realized that it was actually what he was living for, that was foolishness. He understood that it was only Christ who could take away his shame. And when he understood this, he was able to share the message of gospel without shame. He could say with pride that he was a slave of Christ. My brother and sister, I cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ because he wasn't ashamed of me. I cannot reject him because he didn't reject me. He took my shame from me and he cleansed me. He saved my life on that cross. Knowing him and telling others about my relationship with him should be something I do with pride. Think about that. When we met with celebrity, what do we do? We take a picture of ourselves with them and put it on Facebook. And we want everyone to see and know that we met that person or are somehow associated with that person. 3 years ago, when I was in San Luis Obispo, I saw UFC fighter Chuck Liddell, the Iceman, sitting on Starbucks and having a serious conversation with his girlfriend. I don't know, I think he or she is trying to break up. And when I saw him and I recognized him and I went over there and I asked to take a picture with him. And he said, okay. And after I took that picture with him and I put it on the Facebook, my friend John put those words over there. I wanted my friends to see that I met with Chuck Liddell. He was a celebrity. And of all the celebrities, philosopher, artist, and the leaders across the history, my friend, none of them was as famous as Jesus. Even the timeline of our history is stated according to Christ's birth and death. We are now in 2014 after death. Jesus lived over 2,000 years ago. Think about that. He didn't write a single book, but there are millions of books about Him and His teaching. And He didn't paint a single picture, but He is the subject of many works of art by famous painters. He didn't write a single poem or song, but there are millions of written about Him. And He never built an army, but there are millions of people who are willing to die with Him. He wasn't educated, but there are schools, universities, and hospitals named after Him. He is the most famous person in our world. And think about that. You and I have close relationship with Him. You and I belongs to Him. And our identity is in Him. We are His slave and He is our master. Why would we ever be ashamed of this? How can we be ashamed of Him? How can we reject Him? He didn't reject us. He wasn't ashamed of us. To the world, it might be foolishness to follow Jesus, but we know Him as our Savior and King. If you know that you belong to Him, if you know who He is and who you are in Him, you can never be ashamed of the message of Jesus Christ. And the second, if you don't want to be ashamed of being a Christian, we need to know what we believe. There was once an article in Washington Post about a famous violinist named Joshua Bell. Ticket to Joshua in concert sold for about $50 and $100 a piece. His violin alone was worth about $3.5 million. One day, the Washington Post make experiment. Joshua took his violin and set up inside a shopping center. He opened his violin case and to collect the donations. Joshua played for nearly an hour and he earned $33. The people who were out shopping at that day didn't know who Joshua Bell was, and they may have appreciated his music, but they didn't know how famous he was, and they didn't know what he was worth. They had no idea what some people would pay for a ticket to hear him in concert. In the same way, those who don't understand the message of the gospel don't know how valuable it is. But for those of us who believe the message of Jesus Christ is precious and very important to us. The first century believers took a gospel message around the world. Millions of people believed and experienced total life change. Culture were affected and reforms were made. Do you think that the believers of that day were more talented and gifted than we are, or they were more courageous than we are? Did they have more resources than we do? Of course not. Then what was the differences? The reason that there was so much revelation at that time was simply because the message of the gospel reached deeply into the hearts of those who believe it. The message of gospel was the power of God because it saved people from eternal separation from God. In order to be motivated to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ without shame, it is necessary for us to know what we believe. We must be convinced that the gospel has the power to change and saves lives. In the first three chapters of Romans, Paul talked to us about the bad news. He says that everyone has separated from God by sin. We are dead in our sin. We are helpless and hopeless without God. In order to understand the good news, we have to understand and acknowledge the bad news first. Then what is the good news? The good news is Jesus took our sin upon Himself and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and He opened the door for our eternal salvation. Anyone who believes in Christ as Lord and Savior has eternal life. And this is the good news. This is the only good news that can save people from eternal separation from God. And if we believe this message is the truth, then it will be very important to us that everyone has a chance to hear it. I believe the message of Jesus Christ is the only good news. And I believe it has power to radically change and save lives. And we see that in the life of Paul, after he became a Christian, his life changed. And I experienced that in my life, and I believe that you experienced that in your life too. And this is my friend, Heidi, and he experienced the total life change in his life. Heidi, before Christ came into his life, Heidi was a part of conservative Islamic family. He even worked for a radical Islamic group. Eventually, after many years, he became a disillusioned with this group and left it. But this decision didn't lead him anything to better. He left the radical Islamists and he joined the Turkish Mafia. During this time, his life was full of sin and violence. Then Hayri was called by the Turkish government to do his military service. If you're a Turkish boy, you have to go to military service. There is no choice. Well, he was in the military. He was a part of a team that was called on to carry out many violent operations. Even though Hayri was not a virtuous man, the things he was part of during his military service left him feeling disturbed and depressed for many years, his search for peace. That search led him to one of our church members. That man shared the gospel message with Hayri. After reading the scripture and learning more about Jesus Christ, he realized that the Jesus of the Bible was much different than what he had been taught by his society. And after that, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and his life was totally changed. And then now he's serving in our church in Alanya and encouraging people and sharing the gospel with many people and showing them that how Jesus Christ changed his life. Because He is now serving to Jesus Christ because he experienced the power of this message. Unlike the people who dropped small coins in Joshua's bell violin case, we know the value of the message of Christ. My brother and sister, it might be foolishness to it might be foolishness to someone, but we know it is the power for salvation. If we know how important it is the message that we believe, we can never be ashamed of what we believe. And then the last point, if you don't want to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, we need to know why we are here. If you look at verses 5, Paul says that through him we receive grace and apostleship. For what reason? Paul says, to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul received the gospel, but he knew that it didn't stop right there. God's purpose for opening Paul's eyes was not only for his salvation alone, it was much deeper than that. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 16. This is a picture of what the purpose of God through the gospel. In these verses, he connects the grace of God with the purpose of God. He is saying that God, who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the nations. He knew that his goal to be in the world to praise the Jesus name and also proclaim his message. Brothers and sisters, this is the same for every one of us. We are here to glorify Jesus' name and also share the good news with others that who never heard it before. That was the plan of Paul to write this letter to the Romans, because he wants to go to Spain and share the gospel with the people in the Spain that they never heard it before. And he wrote this letter to get support from the Romans that they can pray for him and support financially that he can go and share the gospel with the people in Spain. That is the same reason that we came. And because we wanted to reach out to people in Turkey that who never heard the gospel message before. As a church, we are very evangelistic church. We wanted to reach out many people. This is our church mission statement. We want to glorify Jesus' name in our lives. And also we want to proclaim the gospel message many places that there was no churches and there was no Christians. And we want to train the disciples. And we want to reach out to people for Christ and share His good news with people. And order to do that as a church, we do a lots of outreach activities. We are trying to share a gospel in this outreach activities. For example, we take permission from government and we set up the tables and we invite people to our stand. And in December, the last time when we did, in December, we set up the table in the busy park of Antalya, and we gave at that day 1,200 New Testament to people under the police protection. And also during that time, we shared the gospel with many people. Our church choir sang the worship song all day at the park. During that day, many people complained about our activity to the police. And they called the emergency line of the police and they complained all day. That's one of the police told me. But praise the Lord that many people heard the gospel that day. As a also church, we are very excited baptism people. Last 2.5 years, we baptized 15 people, and they are all coming from Islamic background to Christ. And they gave their life to Jesus, and we baptized them. And also, as a church, since 2005, we want to reach out to the city of Alanya. Alanya is the city that is a very touristic, and the population of Alanya was 300,000 people. In 2005, there was no Christian, and there was no churches, as we knew in Alanya. Since then, we've been visiting Alanya and contacting with people and sharing the gospel with them. And through our evangelistic activities, some people came to Christ, and we gather them in the house and we start a house church. Over the 3 years, we met in houses and shared the word of the Lord with them and trained them. And finally, in 2014, we sent the Hayri and Lale to Alanya, and in the building, we started this church. And now, there is 29 Turkish Christians in that city, and there is a church in that city. And since 2005, also as a church, we've been trying to build our church building. And finally, in 2013, we bought the land and we start the construction in the March of 2014, this year. And we hope to finish this end of this year, that we can meet over there and share the gospel with many people over there too. I feel, my brother and sister, I feel very much the same way the Pauls felt. Standing on a mountain top of this mountain and looking down at my city of Antalya, I feel compassion and mercy for those who are lost. When I look at my city, I see millions of people who have never heard the gospel message before. And I feel deeply called to share with them. And I want you to pray and support us. Please pray for us that we can reach out more people, that they can hear the gospel. Like in Paul's day, and in my culture, I also believe that many Americans view Christianity as a foolishness. How does this make you feel? Are you embarrassed or ashamed to be a follower of Christ? Ask yourself these questions. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who Christ is? If you know your identity in Christ, if you know that Christ, who Christ is, you can never be ashamed. Remind yourself every day that you are the slave of Christ. And you have a rich identity in Christ. And Christ is the Lord and Savior. And the message that you believe is very important and save and change lives. And remember that you, reason that you are in this earth to glorify God's name and proclaim His message to those who have never heard it before and those that who are not Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you saved our lives and you search us and you find us and you brought us into your kingdom. And now we have the gospel, that power of God for salvation. Father, please remind us every day how important that message that we believe. Father, help us not to be ashamed, and also help us that we can reach out to people that who don't know you yet. Thank you that you saved our lives. And thank you for this church. I want you to bless this church. And I want you to use them for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother and sister, if you want to receive our prayer letters, you have our brochure in your bulletin, and please send me email and I can edit your email to our prayer letters that you can pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Some very thought-provoking and encouraging as well.